Hello, this is Matt Barbie with Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition. And this is the show where we really dig into what does success mean to business owners who have families and are family oriented, and how do they go about achieving that in all areas of life. This is your host, Matt Barbie, and I'm a business strategist. I help businesses to grow and really help business owners to create that business that'll give them the life that their families and them dream of. So that's what I do. And I've got a wonderful guest today, Sam with Tex, and it's T-E-C-H-S, not T-E-X-T-S. So just to be clear. So Sam, hey brother, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's our pleasure. So tell the audience a little bit more about you and what you do.
All right. So I'm a small business owner. Started my company about 6 years ago with the sole purpose of trying to build something for the small business sector that are kind of underrepresented and undersupported in the IT world. I found there was a huge gap there where there was just no technicians helping them out. Mm. And it's largely because there's not a large number of computer people out there right now. It's a huge demand market. So I wanted to try to build something where people could go and trust their IT person, much like they can trust their mechanic, you know, to make sure that they're telling them the truth and that they're not taking advantage of them. And I wanted to try to pull the people who belonged in this industry together, who maybe never thought about, you know, even being in IT, that maybe they had the mind for it, and trying to pull them in to do it. Small business IT doesn't take an excessive amount of training because you don't do a lot in one specific area like networking or database management or anything like that. You have to kind of have more of a broad knowledge of IT, more of a jack of all trades type thing. So
yeah,
it really just takes a person that's got a kind of a troubleshooting mind and who cares,
right?
To be a part of it.
Well, especially with small business IT, where it's often pretty high stress situations because whenever a computer's down, so you have to have somebody who's also good with the people, right?
Yeah, in small business, there's a need for IT to work so much more than in large business from a single individual standpoint.
Right, right.
Big business, obviously, if a server farm is down,
right,
that'd be a huge problem.
Millions of dollars.
But
lost,
an individual computer, they probably have 10 other ones sitting like right, you know, next to them that they could probably jump on and use.
Right.
The individual's not, it's not going to tie the business up that much. But in small business, every minute of downtime is money lost in a very large way that's going to impact the business. So we're very sensitive to that, and we try to do everything we can for every one of our small businesses to reduce their likelihood of downtime as much as possible within their budgets.
Right, right.
People being good with people is essential in the small business world.
I need this fixed now.
I want people to be calm.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's chill for a second. I got this. You're good.
IT is one of the is labeled the most stressful job. Apparently, I can't remember the study, but hailed as one of the most stressful jobs in the world.
Right.
And when something goes wrong in small business, it's considered one of the most stressful things for people because they can't do their jobs without their computers and their technology.
Yeah.
So we try to keep all that stress to a bare minimum.
Keep it to a minimum. That's good. That's good.
We have enough in our lives, don't we?
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit more about your family.
I have a 5-year-old son, and his name's James.
James. All right. Hi, James.
He's a challenge. He's my son, so I knew he was going to be.
It's fair.
But
it's fair.
He's a smart dude. He's in he's at the Goddard School, and he's in their kindergarten program. So he's ahead of the curve, which I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not going to be bored when he goes to real kindergarten. But
yeah.
So. He likes to do all the things. He likes to build. He's a boy. He likes to build. He likes you know, every single car he could get his hands on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. So James, 5-year-old son. So, you know, if you were to get into James's mind, what does success look like for James?
Whatever Lego car he can build that day, I think is his greatest success. Or, you know, he's really obsessed with building large train sets and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Or large Hot Wheels car tracks, or, you know, anything to build, to create.
James the Builder, huh?
James the Builder. He likes to build a lot of things, and he will not let you tear him away from it for anything until he's done.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. He sees the project through.
Yes, it's a rare quality of his, of I think of anybody really, is he wants to complete things.
Yeah.
And he gets very frustrated when he can't.
Yeah.
And he lets that emotion be known when he can't sometimes.
So I guess you'd say that some of those skills that you've developed working with the small business owner, whenever they can't get their IT to work and they've got to get that email out or that quote out or the invoice out, some of those skills, they carry over to working with James, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's, he doesn't get a lot of screen time. I'm not a big proponent of children having too much screen time.
Yeah.
So he's very, I think he's got a lot of focus in a lot of ways that I think a lot of kids are kind of starting to lose these days. Because yeah. He doesn't ride around the car with screens. He looks outside at the distance. He looks out at nature and, you know, asks questions.
Yeah.
And his questions are remarkable, you know, and they're questions I want to answer for him. He asks a lot of questions about how things work.
Yeah.
You know, which is exactly how my mind operates, and I'm always asking the same questions. And gratefully with the thankfully with the internet, being able to educate yourself and able to answer those questions now, with the vast knowledge out there, I'm able to answer those for him.
Right.
And it's really exciting when he's asking, like, how does the earth work? It's like, well, from what perspective are you asking? I mean, there's the life on earth. There's the way the earth has the geomagnetic field. I mean, so I have to go into the whole, I have to start from the beginning, you know, because that's how I operate. I'm like, well, it started, you know. Solar system was born, you know, that's all the stuff, and he just eats it up, and then he goes and tells his teachers about it and stuff like that. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. So he's inquisitive. So one way that you help to foster that inquisitiveness is less screen time.
Yeah. I mean, I think if kids observe more of the world and of people and, you know, nature and things like that, or, you know, just anything. If they're observing, they're asking questions.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're just consuming content and whatever that content is, and not a lot of times very productive content, I think that they're not asking the questions.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got a busy, probably sometimes late schedule or early morning schedule or middle of the night schedule, whatever that might look like. So how do you find yourself balancing that time? Because you've got the business, you've got the employees that need your attention, the clients who need your attention, your son who needs your attention. And so I know that a lot of folks have used, I mean, I'm guilty as well. I mean, I'm, you know, so we've used a device as kind of a way to be able to focus on what we need to focus on for the moment, and that the kid kind of, you know, watch the show or whatever. I mean, just like sitting in front of the TV, but whatever. So how do you find yourself balancing your time in the best ways?
I don't know.
You just have them starting to work on the computers now. It's like, you know what, just go ahead and fix the there's like a directory issue, just go ahead and fix that real quick.
You know, every day it's every day it's a it's a feeling of this time is never going to come again.
Yeah.
And I don't want to squash it. I don't want to squander it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I only get one shot at him, you know, and I every single night when we come home, that I'm able to, I don't have to do some networking event or something else that,
right.
That's going to be good for, you know, promoting business and whatnot. He and I come home and we make some dinner together, and I teach him how to, you know, prep the vegetables and cook the foods, and we make our own pizza every week, you know, instead of ordering it out. And so we spend that time. I have to do that myself. So
yeah.
We spend the time together to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we sit at the table and we talk about his day and all that kind of stuff and whatever. And then we'll go down and we'll play if we have some time, or I exercise each night with him. So he kind of goes down there and exercises with me and spends that time. So it's just like, I want him around me when he's awake. So after I'm home from work, that's the time we spend.
Yeah.
You know, and then same on the weekends, you know, he helps me clean things, and he just, as long as I've got him doing things with me, then he's really happy. You know, he's able to kind of help and be a part of things.
Yeah.
So
how much does he bench press? I'm just curious.
350 pounds. Beast.
He is a beast. Yeah. No, that's great. You know, I've started to do that as well with my 4-year-old. I can't get my 13-year-old to go down there and work out with me, but my 4-year-old will. So she'll go down there and I think it's 2-3 pound weights right now she's got.
and that's it. You just said it, you know, it's like once they get to a certain age, they don't want to hang out with you anymore.
Right. Yeah. And it goes by way too quickly. So that's fantastic that you see this now. I mean, were you able, when you were young, were you able to spend a lot of time with your dad and your mom? Or?
Yeah, my dad actually, when I was a kid, my dad was stayed home and he had his own business as well.
Oh, okay.
And so he had things work out with him that we would spend time at his business and the carpet and drapery store. So we had a lot of fun going around the carpet samples and whatnot. And we spent a lot of time with him doing those things. And that was time I've always cherished and I'm grateful for. And he has a lot of influence on my life in those years.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't think he realizes how much influence he had.
Yeah.
In regard.
Yeah. Well, so he really modeled that being able to spend quality time together and just making the time for it.
We used to make the meatballs and stuff like that for the spaghetti and
everything.
Oh, yeah. Part of that and molding them. So it was like, he incorporated a lot of those things as well. Of doing things with him to educate. And he always had me do all the things, like the little fixes and stuff around the house as I grew up, and he had me take care of, like, fixing this or fixing that thing or whatever it was. And it was just a lot of times because he would say, if this person can do it, and he would say it's a different word, whatever, he'd be like, this person can do it, why can't you do it? You know what I mean? He'd give me a book and teach me how to do it, something that that I didn't know how to do before.
Yeah.
Like fixing a toilet or, replacing a sink faucet, or I could go on and on the things I can do around a house because he said, you should be able to do it. There's nothing that's holding you back aside from yourself. So here's a book and here's a thing how to do it. Fix it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Those honeydew lists get long, as I say, if single moms, they'll have a bunch of stuff around the house that, and you'll have to pay somebody to come in and fix, which is great. I mean, supporting local businesses, but it's an interesting idea of son, daughter, here you go.
If they're not going to burn the house down or flood it, then I don't see why they can't fix it.
Yeah. So have you had James fix some stuff for you?
He's not quite there yet.
Not quite there yet? Oh, okay.
He's more of a destructor. he builds and then he destroys.
He's
very Nietzsche-esque kind of kid.
Maybe if there was a Legos faucet, like you could put it together, replace the faucet with the Legos faucet.
I was more the do is everything by the instructions of the Lego books. He is much more creative than I ever was. And I cherish that about him as well. He's very, very intelligent. He's extremely dedicated to completing things and building stuff. But he's not, like, I was a follow the instructions from the Lego movie, but he's way more the creative.
Where he's just the creator. Yeah.
He builds just these awesome things. I'm just like, how did you come up with this? It's pretty awesome.
What's the coolest thing you made?
Oh, recently he built a 23-wheeled, because I don't know how it was missing one wheel, but he managed to make that happen. vehicle that had, this whole track of wheels on the bottom, and then he's got, several levels, and this one comes off, and it's another vehicle, and this one's a plane that can attach.
Oh, wow. Oh, like it's like a whole, assault vehicle
like
or
moving,
something. Like, yeah.
Moving a battleship, a destroyer that has, components. It's incredible.
Did it have one of those center wheels? Is that the 23rd wheel?
Exactly.
The front or something like that? Just kind of maybe a little trailing off the back. Just kind of all right. That's cool. So do you then do the Legos with them, or does he?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he always wants me to, do the following the rules part.
Right.
So here, can you build, whatever one has this picture on it,
and
it's amazing keeping all of your old instructions from all your Legos from when you were a kid is now a cultural thing today. By the way, thank you, I can't remember the CEO of the Lego Corporation at this juncture, but for pulling Legos out of the dirt of the 90s or the 80s.
Okay. Yeah,
well, not the 80s, I think it was the 90s or early 2000s. Lego was about to go under.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the guy that came in and took over for Lego, but he brought them out of nothing, and it was it's incredible that it's still the thing that you can share with your children. I have all my Legos from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And all the new Legos.
Yeah.
And they still work together.
Right.
that's kind of incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
Now we share that, all my magnetic Legos. He loves them.
I just realized, I don't know what happened to all my Legos. I had a whole huge box of Legos. Man, I don't know. Dad, if you're listening, do you still have my box of Legos? Oh, that's a shame, because we've got other Legos that the kids play with and all that stuff. But I was just thinking about the ones from when I was a kid.
Man, sometimes the nostalgia, that's kind of awesome, because
they
weren't quite like the Legos today, where they have all the special shapes that kind of make them almost real things. man, they were kind of raw, you know. It's like, yeah, a lot of stuff was built with just like 10 pieces, you know,
right.
different kinds of Legos. And what you had to build out of that was like, it resembles a car.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not quite like the cars that we have today,
right,
yeah. Legos, but that's okay.
Kind of like Minecraft. Like, you know, yeah. you block things together. It's like, I think that kind of resembles that, right?
Yeah. yeah. It's evolving. I'm okay with it.
So when you look at the future and you think about, you know, the success that you guys, that you want to have as a family unit, what does that look like for you?
Togetherness. Yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to surround myself with people who care.
Yeah.
You know, about themselves and about other people, who are reasonable about it, who make sure that they take care of themselves first, you know, that they're not martyrs. They know that in order to produce, in order to create, in order to, you know, thrive with each other, you have to take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're doing well. And then, you know, that's why, you know, I spend the time exercising, doing things like that, because, you know, I can't, I remember the moment it was like, he was like 2.5 or whatever else. He started to get a little bit heavier, you know? And I just realized, I was like, man, I am out of shape, you know, to the point, cause it was like, he was starting to feel heavy. And I'm like, this is not good. You know, I gotta get progression.
I mean, you know, kids do grow. But
exactly.
I see what you're saying. But
I realized, like, I was going to have a hard time, like, playing with him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As a person,
like,
you know.
Spin him around like a helicopter, that sort
whatever,
of thing.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like, now he's, like, 45 pounds, and it's just like, now I can lift him easier than I did before. So helping yourself to be able to do the things and with your kids, and so that you can have the most, you know, the greatest time, you know, together that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, we all want to make sure we can feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, shelter ourselves, take care of your basic needs, right?
You know, right.
So we
yeah.
focus on that. Once that's taken care of, it's like everything else is material.
Yeah,
material. You know, it's materialistic. So forget all the materials and just time with people you care about.
Yeah,
you know, because that's your joy. That's your success of life. Otherwise, you're letting it pass you by.
I guess time's the one thing, like we were saying earlier, that you never get back.
No, you don't. And my dad passed away when I was 28 years old, and it's just always thinking about the fact that I can't get that time, I can't get any more time with him, I can't show him who I am today,
yeah.
I mean, that kind of stuff. And so it's like, that's what unfortunately is that had to happen, or that did happen, that drove me now to always make sure that I make sure the time is balanced right, and that I spend as much time with my son, and I always make sure I tell him how much I love him.
Yeah,
I tell my mom how much I love her, because, you know, may not get another chance.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I mean, my mom passed away when I was 9, and so yeah, it's just you know, thinking about that with the kids that I have now, and just, you know, not being able to have her spend time with them and all that stuff just makes you look at things differently, you know. Definitely, which is a big inspiration for just trying to have these conversations to get that out there, because I know I was guilty of it for many years, and still not perfect of it, of just,
it's always your best,
you know. Yeah. Just focusing so much time on business and where you're trying to go, but man, having the time with the family, and I mean, the family is, in or those important relationships are the ones that matter, right? Yeah. Yeah. So you want to spend time together, quality time together. Now, he seems like he's an inquisitive guy, so I'm guessing that you're probably going to want to do the whole, like, travel thing, show him the world. Is that...
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big traveler myself.
Oh, okay.
I've traveled. I've gone a couple places. Not, unfortunately, out of country yet, but I will eventually. And I don't know... I do know that the old... I can't remember who said it. That was Mark Twain. The fastest way to, and I don't remember the quote, I'm kind of botching it here, but the fastest way to cure, ignorance and bigotry and hatred is to travel.
Yeah.
I agree with that, to enough of an extent. I think that part of it is also just reading, you know, just trying to read as much as you can from different perspectives, across the world, to see what people don't have that you take for granted. I think you can be learned, and you can kind of understand that you have it really, really good by not traveling, by as long as you're reading more than what's being spoon-fed to you. And he'll always get that. He'll always make sure that he's, you know, checking things and being objective about them, and not, you know, to that, well, this is what this person told you, you know, but have you looked at it from this angle and this angle? Have you read, have you looked at this person's story or take on this event and seen it from their perspective? Because one perspective is not enough. And so he'll, you know, he's going to be inquisitive, and I'm going to make sure that he remembers to always ask that question, you know, is this the whole story?
Yeah.
And why being the driver of all of his thoughts and, you know, and everything and how things work.
So helping him to understand other people's perspectives and other people's stories is going to be key. It's going to continue to be key for,
I think it's the only way for our country and really countries across the world to move forward or to continue to move forward is for children to be raised with an idea of, we need to be together.
Yeah.
We need to be together. Otherwise we're going to split ourselves apart. I had somebody once tell me at a networking thing I went to, something they were talking about, all the people, they're being political, and they were talking about something about people voting for this person or whatever, and I don't want to get specific because I'm not a big proponent of talking about that, but they were talking about something in regards to, well, I wish they would all just, you know, why don't we just send all them, if they wanted to be that way, just send them all to this part of the United States or whatever else and fence them off or something like that. Everybody's kind of agreeing and nodding and stuff like that. I'm like, no. I'm like, absolutely not. And they're just kind of like, what? And I'm like, I was like, what is this constant push for separating from your brother, from separating from your neighbor, and always trying to create divides? Like, there's so much we don't have in common that we can, we should segregate ourselves. It is appalling that this is like the driving mentality that is permeating everything. And it's just like, no, we didn't build America on like trying to segregate each other. We tried to fight for something together. There were some horrible, horrible things that happened along the way to try to get there. But that's what happens when you try to separate each other, separate from each other, is you have these horrible things that have to happen in order to then correct it, as opposed to just sitting down and listening.
Yeah.
It's like, put people in a room. I want to lock a whole bunch of people that are creating arguments out of nothing and lock them in a room and say, you are not going to leave until you figure out how to communicate, until you figure out how to listen to each other.
Yeah.
And come to a solution. Come to conclusions that say, okay, I'm going to give here and you're going to give here, and we're going to figure out how to work together and do something.
Well, would you say that a lot of what we see today is...
Sorry, I kind of got off on a tangent there. That's all my son to be thinking about
the world. So you want your son to not necessarily come at things about what divides us, but what brings us together.
It is the one thing about technology that I've told people, that the most remarkable thing, the best technicians, the best computer people I've ever met are the ones who truly try to understand computers and technology on a very large scale. And the reason I say that is because everybody's like, well, Windows is better than Mac and everything else. And I know it's a weird allegory, but...
Yeah.
I'm like, no, they're both operating systems and they both function to do the exact same task.
Right.
One does one a little bit differently than the other one.
Yeah.
And one has its faults and the other has its faults.
Yeah.
But they both do things very, very well in this way and that.
Yeah.
You take that and apply it to just about anything and it's really the same thing. We're way more similar than we are different.
Yeah.
We all want at the core a lot of the same things. Now, I mean, can have a deeper discussion about like whether or not people have been indoctrinated into different kinds of ways into different parts of the world.
Right.
But again, you take those same people that may have been raised in horrible, horrible parts of the globe, being indoctrinated into terrorism and everything else. You pluck them out of that and you put them in a different. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to hit the table. Like, okay.
It's all right.
And you put them in a different. And you take that child and you raise them in a different environment.
Yeah.
And. Yeah. I don't think you come up with the same result. You almost rarely do.
No.
And so we think we all at the core as human beings want many of the same things.
Absolutely.
So why can't we come together?
Yeah. I mean, I'm also a John Maxwell coach. And one of the basic principles in there is that everybody has basically their own perspective. I say it is their own version of reality because of how they were brought up and what perspective they have based on that. But real quick, I mean, we're almost out of time. I just want to make sure that everybody knows if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Oh, I mean, they can go to our website, weloveit.tech. I know it's not .tech.com. It's weloveit.tech.
Right. The end.
New top level domains, everybody. I know it's confusing, but they're changing things. Or you give us a call. My phone number directly is the 636-393-8880. That's 3 8s and a 0.
Okay.
We'll be getting a kind of a parent phone number pretty soon. That's going to be for the company as a whole as we're growing.
Right.
That's no longer my direct line because we got to make some changes.
Right. Right. Yeah.
as we grow.
Because now you're going to get like millions of calls.
Oh, tons. I'm sure. Man, people are just going to be beating down my door after this conversation. What? About political global politics.
Hey, you know, well, you know, we're talking about family, and it seems very much that you care about James and his future, and
I want to have a better world than what I always want the world to be better than, and I've had an amazing life, so
yeah.
I want it to continue that way for him. Yeah. I don't want it to go the other direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Leave the world better than we came into it, right?
That's right.
So, well, thank you so much for your perspectives on things today. Really appreciated it.
Thank you.
This has been Matt Barbie with Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition. And again, I help businesses really create, business owners create the businesses that they dream of. My phone number is 314-441-5423. Thanks.